We're going to be talking about everything you need to know right now. Larry Neeler here with my guest, Michael Felvin, host of Michael Felvin's What Do You Know? Author of his latest book is What Do You Know? Test Your Knowledge with the Ultimate Collection of Amazing Trivia Quizzes, Stories, Fun Facts, and Everything Else You Wanted to Know. It's published by Sourcebooks. Could you come up with a shorter title?
It's the subtitle that kills you, you know? That takes up the first 20 pages as a subtitle. I didn't write that. That was some publisher's demon.
Some publisher's demon?
Yeah. And it's actually Everything Else You Never Knew You Wanted to Know. So it's even longer.
Published by Sourcebooks, by the way. So if you want to join in with a question about the book or about Michael or about What Do You Know, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. And I'm going to admit on the air here, I didn't have a lot of time to look through this, but this is a book that...
It doesn't really take a lot of time.
Well, you know, you can sit down in the bathroom, as you say.
It's a tank topper, Lair. You call it a tank topper in the business, whatever business that would be.
All right.
Everything in it is designed to be 2 minutes and 30 seconds long, which is the national average.
Is that right?
So, yeah, it's got 1,000 flushes in it, is what we like to say.
Oh, so 2 minutes and 30, is that the actual number? Or is
it is. It gets a little longer as you get older, but I don't have to tell you that.
No, you certainly don't have to tell me that. Well, here we, and there's everything in the book.
It seems,
you know,
like it, yeah.
Here we are talking about North Korea.
Oh, yeah, it's in there.
In the news.
Yeah.
And what do we find right in your book?
Yeah, it's North Korea's in here, the places category. You know, if you feel like you've been everywhere and you don't want to do the Caribbean again, why not North Korea?
Why not?
You know, I actually don't know how you get there. But if you do, there are things to see. Where is that now? It's next to Canada, actually, in my book. There's the Dear Leader Hennessy Cognac Specials, by the way, at the hotel. There's one hotel you're allowed to stay at, and the windows are blacked out. We don't know why. That's true, honestly. But the dear leader, Kim Jong-il, or Il Jong-kim, or whatever he is, one combination of those, drinks Hennessy.
He does.
Yeah. So it is a state drink. You just about have to drink it. So it's not such a bad trip.
No, Hennessy's pretty good.
But they got the Kim Soo-sun Memorial Palace, where his father is resting, Kim Il-sung. And there's a grand monument to Kim Il-sung. There's a lot of Kim Il-sung tourist attractions. The study house, the Arch of Kim Il-sung, Triumph, Children of Glorious Kim Il-sung's Palace, the Grand Leader Department Store. So there's a lot to see in Pyongyang.
And that's one of the amazing things about your book. There's not only North Korea, but every category. You've got countries.
Canada's in there, too.
Canada's,
I know you were just up there.
Yeah, I was just in Canada.
I don't know if you saw. It's helpful, too, because there are actually phrases if you want to speak Canadian. Because they don't talk like us.
No.
I don't know if you know. Did you notice that?
I noticed that. A lot of A's.
They try to pass for Americans, but then there's something like a garburator slips out, and that's like what they call a garbage disposal. A garburator.
Oh, garburator. I didn't know that. Well, we weren't near a garbage disposal, so.
Double-double, two sugars, two creams in Canada.
Yeah.
You're earning coffee. They go to an ABM instead of an ATM.
Yeah.
So you have to know your
stuff. Do you order toast, do you order white or brown?
White or brown? Oh, yeah.
You don't order cool. whole wheat. You just say brown.
Yeah.
So that's countries are part of your book, but you've got give us the various categories that you have here.
Well, Jim.
What are those categories?
I don't know. Jim's got a memory. In fact, Jim doesn't have them memorized after only 20 some years of doing it. He's still got them written down. I said, Jim, haven't you got this? I mean, there's only like five categories, I think. And he does the current events,
which we
couldn't put in the book because, you know, passe those get.
Yeah, people.
People, places. Things you should have learned in school, had you been paying attention. Science.
Or odds and ends.
And odds and ends. So it covers a host of sins.
It certainly does. And Annie, by the way, has a question for you. So let's just go to Annie and find out what's on her mind. Annie, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Mr. Feldman.
Hi.
I am glad to talk to you again. I have been on your show. I actually won your contest a couple of times, and thank you very much for the llama dung.
And, it's nothing. We had unloaded
and I'd
on
like
somebody.
To say, yeah, go ahead.
No, he said.
No, go right ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I'd just like to say that as an artist who had her own business for years and years, and now because of the downturn, am working for other people. One of the things you said in, you had a little autobiography that I won also, that really resonated with me, was that talking about how you got into radio, and you said the only difference between middle management is the diameter of the, I guess it would be rectum.
Oh, did I say that? That's eminently quotable. I want to thank you so much for bringing that.
I've quoted you on that many, many times.
Yes, the diameter increases.
And thank you so much, because it just made me feel so much better.
Well, I'm glad that helped.
Thanks, Annie. Appreciate it.
But Annie.
You can join us, too, at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. And the email address is talk@WPR.org. So 20, how many years? 24 years, is it?
Yeah.
For What Do You Know?
Something like that.
That's a long time.
Yeah, Jim grew right up on the show. You know, he was just a kid, a tousle-haired kid.
And so that's hundreds of shows.
It is.
Many hundreds. And
several hundreds.
I'm sure that people ask you, how do you come up with your, every week you've got a different, you know, routine that you have to come up with.
Well, you know, it's a nervous disorder, Larry. I don't know how you work, but for me, radio is just having a nervous disorder that actually has, you know, no value except probably only in radio. Or maybe I could be like a tour bus guy, you know.
Yeah,
that's the only other thing I could think of, you know, is an occupation. So, you know, when I get in front of people, I get nervous, and you got to say something. So that's how that works there. Mm-hmm. But you know what I like about it is it's different every week, because a different crowd comes in, and the crowd brings the show with them, because I really don't have much on my end of things. And we go from there, you know. So, and of course, Jim supplies a great deal of
with
it.
With the Jim Cam and everything else.
He's actually feeding me lines the entire show. But I hear my headphones, Jim says. You know.
So you're just repeating what he says.
Yeah, Jim is
what he tells you.
He's a ventriloquist, and I'm a dummy. It's a little-known fact.
When I have done television, you've done radio, you like radio better, or not?
Well, I think, you know, they say a face for radio and all that stuff, and there's some truth to that. And the TV ideas I had always were people, you know, Disney at one point came and they said, why don't we do a radio show on television? You know, it's like they said to Judy Garland, so let's do a show in a barn, you know. So, okay, well, I guess sounds right to me. But then by the time when push comes to shove, and, you know, they start eliminating one, you know, one thing. They say, like, you can't go in the audience because that's too iffy. You know, you got to, and the quiz contestants, you know, we don't want to just pick anybody. Why don't we have, like, Chippendale dancers as quiz contestants, you know, for the ladies out there, because you want to track that demographic. And so, you know, by the end of it, it's not. And then they give you notes afterwards. You do a show, and then you have to sit in this room with people. And I never heard of this concept. It's called notes. Yeah, anything you do with these guys in Burbank or television or anything like that, they have notes. And they actually take notes on stuff, and they're things you're supposed to respond to. Like, you can change anything. You know, my I can't change anything about what I do. You know, I just, you know, but then, yes, you have to take notes and then not dismiss them, you know, which is hard to do. So it didn't work out too well.
But radio is a lot of fun, isn't it?
It's, you know, and they are like night and day to me, radio and TV, you know, always have been. Except, you know, in the early days of live television, that would have been cool, do a show like Steve Allen's show or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't really exist anymore.
Well, it's I guess the immediacy of it all is what makes it fun.
Radio is your friend. There's your friend on the air. Uncle Lair is there, you know, and people love that, and they know you're there, and they like to call in and talk to you sometimes, maybe too often. You know, once in a while, she lets someone else get through, but that's radio is very much like a friend you have on the air, you know, so that's a good thing.
Well, I tell you what, we're getting more callers online. Jim just came in with some emails, too, and I know there's callers. You can join in, by the way. You can email us at talk@WPR.org.
Jim actually works for you, doesn't he? He doesn't work for me.
He comes in every single day.
Wow. That is
he
so
does
cool.
scripts. He prepares the show. He calls, yeah. sets everything up.
Why don't you do that for me, Jack?
He's working right now. He's answering the phones.
He does have a camera mounted on his head. That's the one innovation we've had, and it's really nice of Jim to do it. But we have a little. It's called Jim Cam now.
Yeah.
I swear, we do. It's a camera mounted, and you can go online and watch whatever Jim is looking at during the show.
So Jim has to be careful what he looks at.
I don't think he notices. You know, I don't think he knows it's up there anymore. So it's pretty. I've never seen it because I'm on the air, but I'd love to.
John in Milwaukee has a comment for you. John, hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Well, hey, I've enjoyed you for, I think, all of those 24 years since I'm 65 and change.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being 65.
Yeah, well, thanks for laughing. Letting me last that long without killing me.
Oh, well, you're slightly older than I am. That's okay. That's cool.
Well, you know, you have mellowed with age, though. I will say that. Because when I first heard, I believe it was your very first program.
Oh.
You sounded quite young, like you'd just gotten out of high school, and now you're sounding like a real full-fledged adult.
I just got out of teaching high school, so it's much the same thing, though.
I've always enjoyed your show very much, and I listen to it as often as I can. That's my positive comment. And
Thank
I'd
you.
Also like to point out that I think that there is a secret migration of cultural boundaries between the Canadians and the Milwaukeeans.
Ah.
Now, you were talking about unique terminology that they have, like brown and white bread, things like that. Well, you know, we have our own little, you know, cultural differences. Like, you can confuse Canadians very easily, especially when they start saying that they're unique and they throw a unique comment out at you or a phrase that they use all the time. And then you come back with, where the street door car turns the corner around, and that really throws them for a loop.
Yeah.
They just have no comprehension of that at all.
Yeah, that throws them off.
But I traveled Canada extensively, and it's amazing. There are quite a few parallels that I guess it's because of the geographic location of Milwaukee and also Canada. They're relatively close to each other.
Well, you know, my dad grew up in Vancouver, and the family moved down to Milwaukee, so maybe that's the connection. Maybe you brought a lot of that with them, you know. It's possible.
Oh, yeah.
that could well be. And your family, you have how many brothers? You had three older brothers.
Much older. Three much older brothers.
Successful.
I went through a cultural shock, too, because I was originally born and raised about 20 minutes from West Point, the military academy in upper New York State. And then I moved to Wisconsin, and that was a very positive mood. I do like Wisconsin a lot better than New York State.
Uh-huh.
And but it was quite a cultural change. And then when I went to Canada, it was even more of a change because they think kind of like the Russians in a way. Russians love vodka. Well, Canadians like Brador. That's one of their heavyweight beers. It's about 9% alcohol.
Yeah.
And I think they enjoy partying the same way Milwaukeeans do. You know, well, let's work and get some money, and then we'll party.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, it's true.
Warriors, it's every day of the week.
Yeah. That Moosehead's pretty good beer, too. There.
Yeah, Moosehead's, and there's a Pilsner that's a pretty good pill, they call it. I'll have a pill, people say, when they go into the bar in Canada.
Yeah, and that Blue Label's pretty good, too. Yeah.
John, thanks. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. An email from Kyle, who, what did he say? He says, I want to thank Michael for having Mr. Perry on the show last weekend. Avid listener of the show. I'm very excited to hear that you got Michael Perry to come on. He's a wonderful author. Love his books. We're lucky to have such a talented author representing our fine state.
Yeah.
My girlfriend and I got tickets for last Saturday's show for the first time and loved every minute of it.
Oh, good. Good.
And there's no mention of your books.
My books.
He talks about Michael Perry's books, but I don't hear any mention of C.
Well, that's understandable. I'm not called the Bard of Wisconsin. Michael Perry is. And, you know, but I've written basically the same book about five times now. So people are going to catch on eventually.
Well, Michael Perry I've interviewed him for all of his books, too. And he's a wonderful guy. But
yeah.
As you think about the guests that you've had on the show, I don't know if any of this is in your book or not, but who are there some that really stand out in your mind, some that you really, really liked and enjoyed having?
Tiny Tim was good.
Tiny Tim was
we
there?
Had, you know, I mean, this is rather an offbeat thing. It's back when we were doing the show here, still doing the show in Vilas Hall here, and Tiny Tim was in the circus at that time. He was, you know, definitely at the, what's the apogee? Perigee. It would be the
perigee
of his career. And he came by, he sang on Wisconsin on the ukulele. Jim will remember this. And it was actually kind of touching in a way. He was a very sweet guy, and I felt, you know. But it wasn't, you know, like life changer or anything.
But it was
a lot of the
guy.
Authors we've had have been good. You know, Calvin Trillin I've always enjoyed as far as authors go. Of course, Michaels is one of the good ones. T.C. Boyle I've always liked. His
good guys. Actually, Tiny Tim brought to mind that you have his last words in your book. You have a chapter in your book right near the end on last words that I found really fun and entertaining. And
so you flipped it open and it came to that, is what you're saying.
No, I was kind of going through it. I was trying to get the gist of the book.
Last words.
Last
what
words.
What page is that on there?
It's near the back. It's near the back. Last words, you know, that's why you find
Feldman's
it.
Feldman's best
back.
Friend about my dog. Oh, yeah. Last words. Well, a lot of these are suspect, you know.
I wonder. Well, see, I was going to ask you about that.
When I was a kid, you know those Westerns where the guy always dies in the middle of a sentence?
Yeah.
On the street, he's just been shot down in a duel or whatever, and his buddy runs out there, and the guy says, and one more thing, you know. And when I was a kid, I honestly thought if I didn't talk much, I could save my last sentence. And be able to utter the entire. I really did. I thought this when I was a kid. I'm not going to talk more than I have to, so I will have that last sentence and get out the whole sentence at the end there, you know. But some of these are I don't know if they're true or not. Dutch Schultz at the end said, hey, Jimmy, the chimney sweeps, talk to the sword, French-Canadian bean soup. Apparently he was hallucinating pretty heavily at that point. Hal Linden said, Jack Sue from Barney Miller said his last words. He actually died on the set, I think. He said, it must have been the coffee. Jack, remember Jack Sue? He was hilarious.
Yeah.
He was a good one. Who else?
You had another one on the second page, I think, of that.
Yeah.
That you said, I forget who it was now, you said he must have been carrying it around in his shirt pocket for years.
Yeah. Lou Costello said that was the best ice cream soda I ever tasted in dying.
But there's a Tiny Tim one in there, too.
Yeah. What did Tiny Tim say?
I can't remember what Tiny Tim said.
Marie Antoinette, before she was beheaded, apologized for stepping on the guy's foot. She said, pardon me, sir, I didn't do it on purpose, in her last words. So that's little known. Let's see now. Stan Laurel said, I wish I was skiing.
Yeah.
But Tiny Tim, we'll find it. Well, I'll get back to you on this one. Oh, here it is. Tiny Tim said, no, I won't.
Tiptoes through the tulips.
Yeah, and I think he died at the circus, which is unfortunate. But
Well, Dave in Madison has... Well, we just lost Dave. Too bad. Sorry, Dave. Let's take an email then.
Okay.
Are you aware... This is Peter from Fort Atkinson. Are you aware that this new book may raise the average sit-down time? This could pose a real problem... with corporate productivity, please cease and desist.
The worst thing is when you're on so long that your feet fall asleep and you don't realize it and try to get up. That ever happened to you?
No.
I'm
usually a guy that just gets in there and gets out.
In and out
as fast as possible.
So maybe you don't need a bathroom book as much as some other people.
Well, let's see. Dave in Madison may need one.
Good
Dave,
place to read, though. Man. My point was all our books in our family growing up were all in the bathroom, stacked on there. So my dad's Mickey Spillane's were there. My brother's medical books were there. You know, anything in my brother's torts, you know, tax and torts. He was a lawyer. So it was all there. That was the reading room in our house.
David Madison, hello.
Good morning. By the way, I love it. I love his show Saturday morning.
Thank you.
Question, though. You always have Trumbo Dad and Paula Poundstone as they seem to be very frequent guests. Do they live in the area? In the Illinois, Wisconsin area?
I think that's the wrong show. Isn't
yeah,
it?
That's the wrong show. That's
who
the
am
show
I?
That, yeah, what's the name of the show?
Who am I?
Who am I?
No, I mean, I'm trying to think who I am if I have Paula Poundstone all the time.
No, but, it's the show that originates out of Chicago, and I'm blanking on the title right now.
Yeah, I can't think of it either.
So you got the wrong show there, Dave. unfortunately.
So I won't have Ron anymore, I promise you.
Michael Feldman, our guest, author of, he's got a new book out. It's What Do You Know? Test Your Knowledge with the Ultimate Collection of Amazing Trivia Quizzes, Stories, Fun Facts, and Everything Else You Wanted to Know. Larry Mueller here, Jim Packard, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Everything You Wanted to Know with Michael Feldman here as we talk about his new book and about his show, What Do You Know? The new book, What Do You Know? Test Your Knowledge.
I like Paula Poundstone, though. I don't want to say I don't. The Best of the Est.
The Best of the Est.
Yes, The Bestest. I have The Bestest, a listing of The Bestest in here. And it's easy because all of it is mostly in the UAE now, in the Emirates, you know.
And there's no money there anymore.
Well, yeah, we were saying off air here, I was talking about that if you want a Mercedes now, the thing to do is to fly to the Emirates, to Dubai, and because they're all abandoned at the airport parking lot there because they're not paid for, you know. And it's honestly supposed to be a sea of Mercedes-Benzes and really the nice ones, you know, there because I guess there's been a downturn. But they do have the tallest man-made structure, the Burj Dubai Tower in Dubai, which is and you know what's funny? They're still building it. It's like the Tower of Babel. They're not going to quit, and they won't announce how many floors it's going to end up being. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
It's up to 1,680 feet so far, which is the record, yeah, in the desert there. I don't think they're going to fill a lot of the office space, frankly. Do you see that happening?
I don't see that happening.
I don't know what they're thinking. He's got the biggest yacht as well. Which is
I saw the picture of the yacht.
Yeah, 525 feet. Yeah. And it belonged to the Sultan of Brunei. But he couldn't afford the payments on it, so, you know. Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum.
I was in Dubai for about a half an hour once.
You were, yeah?
I was on my way to Pakistan for something else. But yeah.
To destabilize Pakistan?
It was warm. That's mostly what I remember.
You know, you can buy an island there. They've made these islands there in the Gulf. Mm-hmm. Somehow they blow the sand out there, and then they sell them as condos or something. Sand condos. I don't understand, but they're very. It's an amazing place.
You know, Andy emailed in and wondered, at what point do you worry that you or the show is in a rut?
You know, I keep hearing that question over and over again. Same question. Are you in a rut? Are you in a rut? No, I don't. I don't worry about it. It doesn't. For me, it doesn't happen in the doing of it because every show is really different each week because it's a different audience. And as I was saying, the audience brings the show, and I just there. I sort of receive it. I take it as a gift and sort of, you know, broadcast it. And so it's really different every week. I have never gotten bored with it.
1-800-642-1234, the number to call. Join in with your question or comment as we visit with Michael Feldman, 800-642-1234, or email us, lots of emails today, at talk@WPR.org, and we'd be glad to hear from you. Jim is in your book, by the way, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. There's a picture of him, and we're in Louisville trying to pull a slugger out of the sidewalk in front of the Louisville Slugger Museum. You know, Jim, free bat, he thinks. You know. And he's waiting in line for food, another one. There's a little art piece in there about the two different types of people. And so it's him and me, and actually John Tooling, three different types in a line for food, you know, and reach, taking a different stance, a different approach to it. You get to know these guys pretty well on the road, you can imagine, all the time. And so Jim is a very good at filling a plate. You know, in the situations where you only get one plate and there's like a mountain of food, you know, he really can stand. I mean, it's not unlike the Dubai Tower, what Jim can do to a plate. And that's a skill.
Oh, man. Seth in Green Bay has a question for you or comment. Hi, Seth.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Thank you for the time. Michael, I had a question for you.
Yes.
I grew up in the Chicago area. WGN, and they had reruns of Groucho Marx, You Bet Your Life,
yeah.
You know, and I can't help but see the parallels between your format and humor and Groucho Marx. I was just curious if he had any influence on your development as a comedian and host.
Yeah, I always loved Groucho, you know, but I loved Harpo the best, and that wouldn't do much for a radio career.
No, he's pretty quiet.
Yeah. You do the horn thing, you know, and chase, you know, people around. But, yeah, definitely. But my biggest influence was Dave Feldman, my father, who was kind of a very subtle humorist. He did everything by innuendo, my dad, you know.
Okay.
You never say anything overt, but there was always like a punchline that only you heard, you know. So my dad was good that way. And I stylistically, I resemble him more than Groucho. But, you know, definitely loved the show.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. I was just curious about that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for calling, Seth. Yeah, you had Groucho's last words, too, in the book. I'll look those up. And,
yeah.
for you, Dennis and Rhinelander. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, guys. Hey, I think the show that Paul Poundstone's on is Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Oh,
that's right.
Which I enjoy very much, too. But I wanted to tell Michael there that I work in the woods for a living, and as I'm running around him with my machine, I do enjoy listening to his humor and the show. It's very entertaining and makes the day go fast.
Oh, thank you.
And as you you were talking about your getting interrupting, that question was, I appreciate the fact that you have come up with these ideas every day or for every show, and I appreciate the fact that you've kept a kind of hometown-type feel to it.
Yeah.
You know, that to me, that makes the show entertaining and I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, well,
don't let go of that, because that does really bring the show home to a lot of us. So
oh, thanks.
Thanks a lot for calling.
The thought behind it, if there's any philosophy behind it, is to try to do like a local national show. You know,
yeah.
A national show that sounds local. And ideally, I'd be doing a swap meet. I like to do like a national swap meet where a guy's got a front end loader, and he wants to swap it for an Evinrude. You know. To me, that would be that's great radio. To me, that's what radio does best. You know, those shows are great. Don't you love those when you come on? They're so great. You know.
And by the way, Groucho, the last word. Oh, his. I don't know if these were his last words, but in your book, you've got him as saying, "Die, my dear. Why? That's the last thing I'll do."
I know he must have planned that. And, you know, cue Groucho. All right. You know.
Oh man, Kay in Maryland, Wisconsin. We'll go to you now. Hi, Kay.
Well, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I have two really quick things. First, why don't we have your show on Sunday as a rebroadcast instead of that guy from Minnesota?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, we're Wisconsin here.
Yeah, call management, will you? Give her the number. What's the management?
You know, now that you have the toilet book, do you have a lot of stock in, like, Preparation H?
No, but I'm going to use, I think, in the commercials from now on.
I think you should.
I think I should do those, yeah.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks a lot for calling. All right. Well, let's see. Preparation.
We should give away a tube with each book. That would be a little incentive.
Mark in Brentwood, let's go to you now. Hi, Mark.
Hello. I listened to both of you guys.
Well, great.
Thank you.
Last Saturday, the town of the week was Fort Morgan, Colorado.
Yeah.
And I'm the guy that lettered defense at the I-76 Speedway, but they didn't say anything about Fort Morgan Speedway.
Oh, yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, Jim?
Jim is saying...
Jim is back there through the glass there, and I don't know if he's listening to this show or not, but I'll speak to Jim about it. You were at the Fort Morgan Speedway?
Yeah, I lettered the fence there. You can see it from Interstate 76.
Oh, you lettered the fence there. Oh, you put letters on the fence. Okay, gotcha.
Oh, cool. That's very cool.
All right, well, that's something that Jim might have slipped up on. You never know.
Yeah, he doesn't get everything. You know. I don't know where he gets a lot of his material, actually. I thought it was from phone books. You know, in the front, like a page in front of the phone book says, our area is famous for its, you know.
For whatever it is.
Figs. But he missed that one.
Jim has also points out that you only get 35 seconds for the salute.
That Jim gets 35 seconds?
Yes.
Because we run out of time every week. Usually he's not on every week. So I always say every week at this time, which, you know, and we never get to say that even because here's Jim Packer with the Town of the Week. You know, that Town of the Week thing started because we went national. We were on for 6 months as a Wisconsin show.
Uh-huh.
And then we said, we're going national. And we got three stations outside of Wisconsin. Springfield, Missouri, someplace in Minnesota, and someplace in Illinois. And so in order to get the illusion that we were a national show, I said, why don't we throw a dart at the map and we'll just do a tribute to wherever that lands. You know, and they never heard of me or heard of the show, obviously. Never. And then we had to cut up the map and rearrange it because we kept hitting Nebraska is the bullseye of America. You know, so we kept going, and Nebraska, Omaha, it's on the way, you know. Okay, so and so that's why that was cut up there. And then, but that's Jim's. That's Jim's baby there. He does those tributes.
And he works hard on it.
He does a darn
good job. I
hear
him on the phone, working the phones in the office some mornings when he's trying to get information from the Town of the Week folks.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're not always forthcoming. Some towns don't want to be attributed.
You know. Well, now you mentioned you started with three outside of the state. How many do you have now?
We have six. I mean, it's six.
Six?
No, I don't know where it is.
That's oh, it's hundreds, isn't it?
Yeah, a couple of hundreds.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Roger and Gordon, we're on to you. Hi, Roger.
Good morning.
Morning.
I got a question for Michael Feldman.
Okay.
Yes.
The holiday shows that you do you really drink all that much at those shows?
For me, it's a lot for me. If I have one or two nogs, you know, it goes right to my head. We do. You got to for the holiday show. Otherwise, you can't say, you know, things you regret later. To people you work with, you know. I mean, that's the whole thing about, you know, office party shows, so, and office parties.
No, that's one of your best shows. I really enjoy that show.
Oh, yeah, thanks. You should come to it.
You should come to it. You're in Gordon, Roger. You can make it. You can make it.
Yeah, no. Come. We usually have a polka band. And
it's only 5 hours.
It's a five-hour drive? What the heck?
Yeah, if you speed, it's 4.5.
Thanks, Roger. And come to the next one.
Those are fun shows.
Yeah, they are a lot of fun. Adris in Waukesha, on to you now. Hi.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good, and I'm calling to say I've been watching you, or listening to you for almost 24 years, too, and my family.
Yeah.
And I was lucky. I think it was 2007. I went on a bus trip to see you, and we were late getting there because we had to go down to Beloit, and then
I remember that. Yes, it got diverted because there was
the flood.
The flooding. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah,
remember that?
Yes, I do.
And you called me up on the stage.
Oh yeah.
I was the one that lived on a lighthouse.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And
when you were a girl, all the sailors would come to your lighthouse looking for you because you were the only girl on the island.
The only girl on this island in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how are you?
I'm glad you remember me because I remember you, and good luck in the future.
Oh, thank you very much.
You should buy his book, Adrian, and buy his book. What do you know? Test your knowledge. Is what we're doing. You could test your knowledge every day. Dick in Waukesha, we'll go to you next. Hi, Dick. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I wanted to recall the time that Helen McCauley, who was the president of Carroll's secretary, Dan West, Helen McCauley, with that southern accent, auditioned to substitute for Jim when he went on vacation. And won.
That's right.
He probably remembers that.
Sure.
There were... I think it was in the second half when you, somewhere along, you were reading the cards, and this fellow, he was a student at Carroll, and his student visa was going to expire, and he was looking for a wife. Remember that? He spent, I don't know how many minutes, 10 or 15 minutes, trying to get somebody in the audience to marry him. And not succeeding there, you went up onto your seat there and started plugging into all the people who were waiting to be on the quiz, and the first four or five were men, and into space they went.
Yeah,
he finally got a woman up in Superior who said she'd marry him.
Did that happen? Wow,
that all happened.
Wow, you know, we've done quite some strange things over the years, you know, trying to match people up and mate them and so on.
Well, you actually married somebody in Alaska, didn't you?
I did. I married a couple in Alaska because in Alaska it is possible to marry anybody. You could be anybody and marry anybody. You just have to go to the judge and get a certificate saying that it's okay with them or whatever. And so we married a couple. Yeah, this guy and his climbing partner. He was like an ice climber in Fairbanks.
Right? Yeah.
And he married a student of his, and we had a very nice – it was a mixed ceremony. It was part Jewish and part Inuit. It was an odd mix.
I remember because I was in. I remember that show well because I happened to be in Door County on vacation and heard it on vacation. Yeah. Andrew, by the way, wants to know if there's a part of the country you have been unable to crack into in terms of the show. You know, is there a market?
A market that evades us?
Yeah, is there a major market that might evade you?
Yeah, we could use a few major markets now. I keep hearing about this New York, for example. Sounds like a good one. We were on in New York, then we're off in New York, then we're on in New York, then now we're off in New York. So it's an off and on relationship. So it'd be nice to get back on to, in New York, because we do have people from New York calling all the time saying, you know, where are you? So
no.
I feel like I owe them something.
So they have to listen to you online?
Online, or they can, it seeps in from Connecticut if you're in the right place. There's some seepage.
Well, so are you going to go on a book tour? Or
I did. I was on the book tour.
Oh, my gosh.
Indianapolis, one city. I did Bob and Tom. You know Bob and Tom?
Yeah.
Nice guy. They're really nice guys. I'm so surprised. I keep saying to them, you know, why are you in radio? You're nice. What is the matter with you? You know, they're not even shock jocks or anything. They're really nice guys. Anyhow, that was it. The whole tour. I went to Indianapolis, flew back, and tour's over. Okay, got to kick back now and have a few brewskis. So, you know. And then this, of course.
Well, yeah. This is the...
The Lair Show.
The Indianapolis was the... or Indiana was the penultimate, and this is the ultimate.
Ultimate, I guess. The post-ultimate.
Always a pleasure, Michael. And...
Thanks, Lair.
What do you know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you wanted to know. You know what I'd do? I would, and it's available. You can get it anywhere, right?
Pretty much, I think, yeah.
Yeah, order it online or whatever, or go to your local bookstore and order it. But if you just remember, what do you know? That's probably...
That's the easiest thing.
That's forget the subtitle.
Or Feldman.
Or Feldman,
F like in Frank, E like in Edward, my mother always said.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Michael Feldman. Author of many books. He's got, what has he got? What do you know? Test Your Knowledge with the Ultimate Collection. That's the latest one, but he's also has several other books. Thanks for the Memos, Wisconsin Curiosities, Glad You Asked, Something I Said, Innuendo and Out the Other. And, you know, you're going to be a tough act to follow, but our weather guys are coming and they'll
weather
do this.
Weather always works.
Weather always.
I would rather have done the weather segment, tell you the truth. A little more interesting than me.
Thanks. Michael Feldman at Weather Next. Our weather guy's coming up next year on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.